Amos chapter 9, if you have your Bibles, let's stand together for the reading of the word. Amos chapter 9 and verse 9. For lo, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege that we have to worship the Lord. We thank you for your divine presence, and thank you, Lord, for those who have gathered here in the house of God tonight. We pray that you'd help us, Jesus, that our fellowship would be with one another and with the Spirit of God in this service. And Lord, I pray that you would draw us close to yourself and help us to understand the plan and purpose of God in history. And Father, I pray that we'd find our place in your plan and fulfill the will of God in our lives. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise for the help you give us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach tonight for a few minutes on the preservation of Israel. Israel is one of the greatest miracles in the whole world. The nation of Israel is a wonderful miracle. Of all the proofs that there are around us in nature, Israel is one of the strongest proofs of the existence of God, of the power of God, of the providence of God. And this nation, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, are a people that were produced by the Lord himself. He promised unto Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, he told Abraham, if you will leave the land of your fathers and you will go to the land that I'll show you, he said, he gave him seven promises. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee. Curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham obeyed the Lord. Left Ur of the Chaldees and started out for a land he'd never been to before. That God said, I'll give this to you, to your seed after you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And so the nation of Israel is the result of the promise that God made to Abraham. Abraham's family, we see them in the land of Canaan during the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And then in the time of Joseph, we see them go down into the land of Egypt, where Joseph has been sold into captivity and has risen to second in command in Egypt. And he was sold there by his brethren. Later on, when his father died and his brethren were concerned that Joseph might, take revenge on them, Joseph spoke to his brethren and said to them in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19, he said to his brethren, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. So Joseph understood that it was in the plan of God for him to go to Egypt and to be second in command and to have administration over the food of Egypt in order to spare the people of God. It was the divine providence of God in sparing the family of Jacob, the descendants of Abraham. God was producing a nation in the bosom of Egypt. 70 souls went down into Egypt from the family of Jacob. They would be there for over 400 years. And in that 400 years, God would birth the nation in the womb of Egypt. And so when God sent Moses down there to get them, he brought out a nation of several million people. We know there were 600,000 men 20 years of age and above. And so there were several million people that marched out of Egypt. They came into Egypt, 70 people. They came out, several million people. God had formed the nation that he promised to Abraham in the womb of Egypt. But God not only produced that nation, God preserved that nation. He preserved that nation throughout the Old Testament. And one reason that God preserved that nation is because he had a divine purpose for the nation of Israel. He had promised Abraham that in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And that seed was the promised Messiah. Jesus was to be born through the seed of Abraham, through the descendants of Abraham, in the nation of Israel. And so God preserved the nation of Israel throughout the Old Testament because there was a promise to these people that Messiah was going to come from the ranks of the family of Abraham. God had a divine purpose. And so he preserved them, and it was a little Jewish girl named Mary that got a message from the angel Gabriel that you have been favored of God and that the Messiah is going to be born of you. And so God fulfilled his purpose in providing the seed that was to bless all the families of the earth in sending Jesus through this little Jewish maid, Mary, born in the city of Bethlehem. He fulfilled the divine purpose. God had preserved the nation. But God has spoken of this nation in the last days. He tells us various promises are given to us in the Old Testament concerning Israel in the last days. God spoke about Israel in the last days in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It tells about how Israel will backslide on God. But in the last days, if they will call upon me, God says, I'll hear their prayer. I'll restore them. The Pentecostal promise in Joel chapter 2, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And that wasn't just made to the Gentile people. It was made to the Jewish people. So that in the last days, the Jewish people would still be existing. And then when we read in the book of Revelation concerning the last times, there are 144,000 Jews sealed with the seal of God. And we read about Jerusalem, the temple being built in Jerusalem, and Antichrist going into the temple, setting himself up as God in the temple. And so we see that God is preserving this nation, not only in the Old Testament for the producing of the Messiah, but also throughout the New Testament period. God has preserved these people. It is amazing how God has preserved them. There was a time when God threatened to wipe them out, but there was a man named Moses who stood in the gap and made up the hedge, prayed for Israel, and God spared them. There was a man named Haman that was determined to wipe them out. And you remember how God used Esther to produce a rescue for the people of God in the time of the Persian Empire. And then there was Hitler, who wanted to wipe them out and tried to wipe them out and kill 6 million Jews. But in spite of all that could be done by kings and potentates, God has spared this people and preserved them unto this present hour. God had a purpose in doing so. He scattered them throughout the nations of the world. I read to you about it in my text here tonight. The Bible says in verse 9, I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, and yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. The people of Israel are found in nations all across this world. There's a reason for that. In the time of the intertestament period between Malachi and Matthew, it was a time of war, and Israel was caught between the forces of Asia and the forces of Africa. And armies were marching back and forth and conquering over and over and over again. And many of the Jews got tired of being in this pincher where the forces of Asia and the forces of Africa were fighting over this area of land. And it was just war, constant war. So many of the Jews left Israel, went to other nations of the world. And you remember that when Pentecost happened, there were 13 nations represented in Jerusalem at that time when the Holy Ghost was poured out. And they heard them speaking in their languages the wonderful works of God. These Jews had come to Jerusalem from these nations all around where they'd been scattered because of the constant war. And then in 70 AD, the Romans conquered Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem. And again, the Jews were scattered far and wide through the nations of the world. In the time of Paul the Apostle, you remember the Apostle Paul's journeys, when he would go to these major cities of the Roman Empire, he would go first of all to the Jewish synagogue. And he found these synagogues throughout the Roman Empire. The Jews were a scattered people. But the amazing thing is this: they never lost their identity. Most of the old various groups, ethnic groups, national groups of people that you read about in the Old Testament, Hittites and Hivites and Amorites and so forth, we don't know anything about them. We don't know where they are, what happened to them. They disappeared in history. Nobody knows who they are, where they are, if they even exist anymore. But the people of Israel still exist as a distinct people. Wherever they were scattered abroad, they retained their identity. God kept them from being absorbed into the populations where they were because God had a divine purpose for them. There is prophecy upon these people. God has said that there's going to be a place for these people in the last days. And so God has preserved the nation of Israel and the Jewish people for his purposes in the last days. You know, we have lived to see, some of you have lived to see some remarkable prophecies fulfilled concerning the nation of Israel. In 1948, Israel went back home and became a sovereign nation once again. And God had promised that he was going to bring them back home in the last days. And I read to you in this scripture, he said in verse 15, I'll plant them upon their land. They shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. In other words, God said, there's coming a time, I'm going to put them back in their land, and they'll never leave it again. I believe that we've seen that. I believe we've seen God put them back in their land, and I don't believe they'll ever leave it again. Now, God produced this miracle of this nation of Israel in the last days. For many, many years, The Israelites were scattered abroad in the nations of the world. And they were, because they were a distinct people, their customs were different. Their religion was different. Because they were a distinct people, they were a despised people. They were put into ghettos. They were restricted in what they could do in the nation. Jobs they could hold, and activities that they could engage in. They were cut off from education. They couldn't, in Europe, they couldn't go to the colleges and universities. And they were discriminated against, and oppressed, and persecuted, and driven out of nations. And from one nation to another, they were driven from one nation to another. This went on for centuries. I mean centuries. There were pogroms. I don't know if you've heard of pogroms, but this was periods of time when the Israelites, the Jews, were killed and their homes destroyed, especially in Russia. There would be times of intense persecution. Thousands of them would die. And it would, you know, if there's something that happened in the nation, would spark anti-Semitism, and multitudes of them would die. And this went on for centuries. And so finally, in the 19th century, things had gotten so bad, especially in Russia, that there were some of the Jews who began to look toward Palestine for a homeland for the Jews. There was a man by the name of Theodor Herzl. He died when he was 44 years old. He became a leader in the movement to bring Israel back home to the land of Israel. He was not a religious man. He was an atheist, probably. Didn't go to synagogue. But the plight of the people of Israel, the Jewish people, was so severe that he felt like something had to be done. He worked with the British leaders, and finally the Jews received permission from the British government after World War I. Some of you may have heard of the Balfour Declaration. After World War I, they were given permission to go back to Israel. And there were thousands of them already making their way back there. But the British closed the door on them. They backed out of their agreement with the Jews. And it wasn't until after World War II, when Hitler wiped out 6 million Jews. I'm telling you, brother, it's staggering to the mind how many Jews perished in the Holocaust in World War II. The Jewish people were in shock after World War II. But it was very clear that something had to be done about the Jewish people. And so the United Nations approved a plan for the Jews to go back home and to have a nation of their own. And May 14, 1948, Israel declared themselves to be a free and independent nation, recognizing the United States and the United Nations as a free and independent nation again. It was the doings of God. It was a miracle. God produced this nation. And he told us that he was going to do that in the last days. God preserved that nation and put it back together. Now, we have in the United States of America around 5 million Jews in this country. And until just recently, last year or so, the United States of America had more Jews than Israel did. Israel just recently surpassed us in the number of Jews that they have in their country. But there will be a day You know, the Jews in America have been pampered, and they have been treated well, by and large, in this country. And in fact, when the United States of America was founded, many of the Jews came to the United States of America. They were amazed at the welcome they received here. They were not persecuted here like they were in Europe. They were given opportunity to go to school, to have an education. They were accepted in the culture, and they were accepted in the economy, and they were honored and esteemed. And instead of being placed in ghettos, they were given respect in this country. They flooded in this country. Why shouldn't they? They were persecuted everywhere else, placed in ghettos, cut off from society, out of the cultures, and here in America they were treated very well. I would tell you, brother, I believe that's one reason why the United States of America has been so blessed, is because we've treated the Jews so good. You remember what I read to you, what God said to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. And I believe that's still true, brother. And I think that one reason why this nation is so blessed is because we have been good to the Jews. Now, we haven't been perfect. In fact, the United States of America bears some tremendous stigma over the fact that in World War II, when Hitler was destroying the Jews by the millions, the United States would not allow them to come here to escape the death camps of the Nazi regime. But by and large, they have been treated better here than anywhere else in the world. And they don't want to leave here. So we have a tremendous population of them here. But they are going to go back home. At some point, the Jews in America are going to go back home. And God is going to bring them. He says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 36, he said that he's going to put the two sticks together, Israel and Judah, the separate kingdoms. He's going to put them together. They're going to be one nation together in the land of Israel. And God is going to do that. He's going to bring them from the four corners of the world and assemble them back in their land. And the people, the Jewish people in America, will someday go home to Israel, because that is the homeland God has picked out for them. And God has a purpose for them. God has preserved that nation miraculously. But not only has God preserved that nation, God is going to promote that nation. He tells us in our text in verse 11, in that day I'm going to raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof, raise up his ruins, and build it as in the days of old. In other words, I'm going to raise up the family of David to rule and reign again in the nation of Israel. Now, we know that the family of David is not ruling in Israel. There is no king in Israel. And in the time that Jesus was born, Joseph and Mary were part of the family of David. You remember, the lineage of Christ was traced back through David. And so Jesus was born into the family of David, a very poor family. A family, they were not royalty, they were a very poor family. But God says, I'm going to raise up the family of David again. They're going to rule and reign in Israel again. God is going to promote Israel. Israel is going to come to the top of the nations. And in the last days, God is going to establish them in the millennial time. He's going to establish them as the leader among the nations. Jesus Christ is going to rule in Jerusalem. And the family of David is going to be raised again to prominence and rule in Israel. But listen to this. He said in verse 13, the days will come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. If anybody's ever been to Israel, it's a remarkable thing to see how Israel has flourished in agriculture. When you go up the Jordan Valley, it's such greenery on both sides of the river, on the Jordanian side and on the Israeli side. And it's amazing that the various farming techniques that Israel has used. They're the ones that pioneered the drip irrigation system. And you see these pipes all over the place. Drip irrigation. They don't have much water, but they make the most of it. See, great huge nets over orchards and over agriculture. These nets hold the moisture in. I mean, huge nets. And on the Jordanian side, there's greenery, farming. And our guide said to us, we taught them to farm. We sold them farming instruments because we felt like if they're farming, they won't be fighting. So we taught them to farm. So Jordan is green because the Jews taught them to farm. And when Israel went back home in 1948, the land of Israel was a dry and barren land. There were no birds in Israel. No flowers in Israel. It was a barren, desert land. But since the Jews have gone home, Israel is one of the top exporters of flowers in the world. And birds of all kind live in Israel now. And you can hear the singing of the birds in Israel. And the Israel is one of the leading agricultural expert nations in the world. And they are causing the desert to bloom. And they're just beginning, brother. I'm telling you that it's going to get better in the end of this age when God raises this nation to prominence again. There's going to be in the millennial time, Israel is going to prosper as never before. It already is prospering. The Bible says the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. The mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And God's already started that. Already it has begun. God is promoting the nation. And I'll bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They'll build the waste cities and inhabit them. The Jews have transformed the cities of Israel. We went into Old Jerusalem. And in Old Jerusalem, they have rebuilt that part of the city. And they have built West Jerusalem. And they have built the city of Tel Aviv. It wasn't there. They built the city of Tel Aviv. They have built cities through the nation of Israel. Modern cities. Modern conveniences. When you go to Israel, you'd almost think you're in another state of the United States. Signs are in Hebrew, in Arabic, and English. So you can read, people speak English all over the place. You think you're in another state of the United States almost. And so God has blessed them, and they built the waste cities and inhabited them, planted vineyards. They'll drink the wine thereof, make gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And I'll plant them upon their land, and they'll no more be pulled up out of the land which I've given them, saith the Lord thy God. God is promoting the nation of Israel. Now, I've said all of that to say this. We hear in the news very often of threats to the land of Israel. The Iranian dictator, Ahmadinejad, somehow, something like that. He's constantly threatened he's going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. He's trying to develop nuclear weapons. One day he hopes to do away with Israel altogether. But I got news for him. God's already defeated Hitler and Haman and all of the others that tried to destroy Israel. And Adonijah is not going to destroy Israel. God has preserved them this far, and He's going to preserve them right on. Because it's the providence and power of God that has preserved them, and God's going to keep on preserving them. Iran is not going to destroy Israel. Hallelujah. Now just put your mind at rest right there. Iran is not going to destroy Israel. Now Iran's going to come against Israel in Ezekiel 37 and 38. Iran's going to come against Israel along with Russia and other nations in that area. They're going to come against Israel, but God is going to fight for them, and He's going to leave their dead scattered across the land of Israel. It'll take 7 months to bury the dead. God is going to preserve them. Now put your mind at rest. Iran is not going to destroy Israel. But you know, I get other lessons from this. The power and providence of God is very real, brother. God preserved that nation for thousands of years through all kind of storms, persecutions, scatterings. God has preserved that nation and those people. When I look around us and I see the apostasy in our land, when I see how rare it is to find a person who loves God, who seeks God, who keeps the commands of God, who is fully committed to Jesus, to the Word of God, when I see how rare those people are in this country, sometimes I'm almost made to despair. God, will we survive? But I'm telling you, God has kept His church for thousands of years through all kinds of storms, all kinds of persecutions, all kinds of apostasies. I'm telling you that the holiness people will never perish from the face of this earth. God preserved the nation of Israel. He's going to preserve His holy people. Hallelujah. There's going to be somebody living for Jesus when Jesus comes. Somebody's going to be loving Jesus. Somebody's going to be keeping His commandments. There's going to be people who are hungry for God and seeking God and living a victorious life when Jesus comes. And just as Jesus has preserved the nation of Israel, He's going to preserve the people of God until Jesus comes. The devil's not going to destroy us. We're not going down in defeat. And we're going to be a victorious people. Jesus is going to preserve holy people till Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I look at my family. I look at my larger family, the extended family. I see what Satan has done to our family. Most of them are religious, but so deceived, so far from God. They're thinking so warped by the world. I thank God. I've got children and grandchildren. What's going to happen to my descendants? Then I think about the power and providence of God and how God kept Israel, a separate and distinct people, for thousands of years and brought them back home. And I say, God, You can do the same thing for my family. You can keep my family distinct from this world. You can keep my family a holy people. You can keep my family a dedicated people. Generation after generation. I'm telling you, brother, for thousands of years, God did that for Israel. And if God can do that for Israel, God can do that for our families as well. Hallelujah. We ought to pray to that end that not one of our family members ever loses this salvation, ever loses out on the Word of God and the ways of God, and never loses the truth that God preserves the truth in generation after generation until Jesus comes. And I believe, brother, that the same God that preserved Israel can preserve the truth in our families from generation to generation. Do you understand how important separation is? Just look at the nation of Israel. They are a distinct people today because they refuse to be absorbed into the cultures around them. This is what's happened to the church world in our day. They've lost their distinction. They've been absorbed into the larger culture. They've become like the culture around them, indistinguishable. The only thing that's going to preserve the church, the only thing that's going to preserve a holy people, is if we refuse to be assimilated into the culture around us. We keep up the distinctives of the Word of God. We remain a holy people, a separate people. It's the only way we're going to preserve the truth, is to be a separate people. And God says, you come out from among the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and I'll receive you and I'll be a God to you. And you'll be my people. You'll be my sons and your daughters, and I'll be your father. Praise God. Hallelujah. And this is encouraging to me. It's encouraging to me that God did this for Israel for thousands of years. He preserved them as a distinct people. And God can do that in our families. And God can do that for the holiness people. I believe He's going to do that for the holiness people. There's going to be holiness people when Jesus comes. I mean, people living right. Hallelujah. People separated from the world. People dedicated and devoted to God. Now I ask you a question. Are you going to be one of those? And what about your family? Will your family be part of that group of people? I mean, the decisions we make today are going to affect our families tomorrow. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano. I taught our young people today on the three Hebrew boys. They went to the furnace of fire because they wouldn't bow before the idol that Nebuchadnezzar set up in the plain of Duma. And it was a worship service. They had the band there and had all of the administrative officials of the government there from all over the Babylonian Empire. Everybody's supposed to bow when the music strikes up. I told our young folks, we stand up, they were going to bow when the music started. And those three Hebrew boys there, and they didn't bow. They ought to have been told, if you don't bow, you go to that fire over there. And they didn't bow. And somebody said they had the faith to bring them out of the fire. I say they had the faith to take them into the fire. They didn't know they was going to come out of the fire. They said, God's able, but if not, we're not going to bow. We're not going to serve your gods. And they went into the fire because they wouldn't bow. They refused to break the commandment of God. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. These boys wouldn't bow. They would not involve themselves in idolatry because they knew that not only would it affect them, but it would affect future generations. And they refused to bow. And the king was furious. And he threatened them. And he told them, I'll give you another chance. They said, we don't need another chance. We can tell you right now, we're not going to bow. Did you know it's that kind of faith that preserves holiness and righteousness? If you are wavering and double-minded and you're not really determined to do the will of God and keep the commands of God and please the Lord, you won't survive and your family won't either. But if you've got your mind made up, I'm not bowing, I'm not bending to this world system, I'm going to do the will of God in my life, whatever it costs me. And it may cost you. I told my children this morning about my grandfather. Worked in the cotton mill, depression days. They come around and said, we're working on Sunday. If you don't come in on Sunday, don't come in on Monday. And my granddaddy told him, he said, I go to church with my family on Sunday. Sunday and I won't be here. He said, well, you know what we said. My granddaddy went to church Sunday with his family, went back to work Monday, checked in, clocked in. Supervisor come and said, Mr. Pittman, where were you yesterday? And he said, I was where I told you I'd be. I said, you know what we told you? Yes, sir. Big boss wants to see you up in the office. Granddaddy went to the office. Boss man said, Mr. Pittman, you know what we told you? Yes, sir. Go get your time card. Yes, sir. Come back and sit down. My granddaddy was a man of faith. He spoke his faith. He said, sir, if you're going to fire me, I just want to let you know God has something better for me. Depression days, big family. Walked out of the mill, no job. Big family to feed. Down the road was another cotton mill. Hadn't hired nobody for months. Granddaddy said he decided to go down there and try it. Walked in the personnel office. The man in the office recognized him. Said, hey, Mr. Pittman, you looking for a job? Yes, sir. You got one. Come on in the morning. Granddad said, I've been working Wednesday night, second shift. Couldn't go to church on Wednesday nights. Now God gave me a job. I could not only go on Sundays, I could go on Wednesday nights as well. The Lord took care of him. Because he was willing, whatever it cost, I'm going to obey God. It don't matter what it cost, I'm going to obey God. Is that the kind of mind and commitment that's in you? I'm telling you, if this is the way we live, God will preserve truth in us, in our families, for future generations. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Let's stand together. The direction of our culture and the direction of our nation is demanding that if you survive as a Christian, that you be totally committed. I mean that. The direction of our culture, if you're going to survive and your family's going to survive as Christians, I mean true Christians, you're going to have to be totally committed. Or you won't make it. Are you sold out to Jesus? Are you determined? I will obey God whatever it costs me. I'm going to do His will. I'm going to serve Him. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care how the world treats me. What it costs me to do it, I am going to obey God in my life. If I drop out, I'm telling you, God's still going to have a people. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, there's going to be a glorious church. A glorious church. Without spot, a wrinkle. Holy, without blemish. There's going to be a church. A holy church. Waiting on Jesus when He comes back. I want to be part of it, don't you?